Before we get into today's episode with John DeBerry, there are some eagerly awaited changes to the season that Dave and I are going to discuss, namely some new additions and modifications to the Wheel of Death. If this is your first episode of Recipe Club or you have no interest in this whatsoever, just fast forward 2 minutes and 48 seconds. But Dave and I are going to introduce these new wheel constraints before we get into the show.
Did you just say real or wheel?
These real constraints. We're going to get some real wheel constraints. So just to review, DC, before we get into them, the existing ones, we made a few changes.
We live and learn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so first...
And we're not taking away the wheel. We're actually quadrupling down on it.
Yeah, some people are like, maybe they'll take away the wheel.
Wrong.
No. We're going to go even harder into this wheel. So for instance, some easy changes we made. One pot was posing a little bit of an issue for us because a lot of these recipes are already just one pot. It wasn't very interesting or challenging. But we thought a slow cooker.
Slow cooker.
As a specific pot you have to use would be a very interesting way to go here. So we changed that. We've made budget and lux sort of a, you know.
We're giving more power and autonomy to the winner of the challenge to choose the pain and suffering for the other wedgies that week.
Exactly.
And we've loaded up, we've doubled up some of the items. For example, the vegan or vegetarian. If you land on lux, you know, you're going to land on budget as well as budget or lux. And the winner would choose, you know, specific to that
right.
sort of recipe. And I think by doing this, it gives more optionality and allows us to tailor the challenge to the Wheel of Death a little bit more appropriately.
Yeah, and it's going to make, I think hopefully it's also going to make for more interesting takes on the recipes. In some instances, it's going to be more interesting to see a luxe version of a recipe. In other instances, it's going to be more interesting to see a budget version. So the winner of the episode will get to choose budget or luxe. They'll get to choose vegetarian or vegan. They'll get to choose Cheeto. They'll get to choose keto, or we've added Whole 30 as an option instead. Those are the sort of modifications. We've added some new gamified ones. So there's a wild card piece of the pie now. So
where if you land on a wild, if I spin, I land on wild card, I can choose anything I want with the exception of one, which we'll get into.
And then there's going to be a, the one that Dave is referring to is there's going to be a split pie where if you land on this wedge of the Wheel of Death, you're either going to get something great or something terrible. The great option is you could land on God mode, meaning you will get to choose the constraints under which you and your opponents have to cook, but right next to God mode.
Hold on. Theoretically, if we just did one with JDB, if you spun first and land on God mode, you chose all, you know, you chose for John and I. So you say, hey, I make keto, John DeBerry, you do
budget.
And then I spin, I land on God mode, then I can flip everything over again and I can give myself whatever I want to cook. And then if John DeBerry then spins God mode at the last, then it erases everything that happened before.
Mm-hmm. So that I think that's the only way you can get out of your God mode as assignment is to also land on God mode. But if I spin God mode and I assign you budget and you spin and land double taxation, I think you have to get another one on top of it too.
Sure.
So we've added a couple of gamified ones. We added for some more of the culinary oriented constraints that you're going to see.
No, I think you choose after.
Okay.
After you spin.
Sure. So some of the more culinary oriented constraints you're going to see for the rest of the season as we approach all of these recipes that you send in. There's a handmade constraint. So for this one, the winner of that episode will choose one element of a recipe that you have to make from scratch.
So let's just say the butter episode where we make stuffing. We would say you would have to, and I won. I would say, Chris Ying, not only do you have to do lux, but you have to make single udder butter. You have to make the butter from scratch.
Right. And I have to raise the cow.
And we're going to decide. It's not going to be, you know, horrible in that sense, or maybe it will be, depending on the winner of that. I think it creates a little bit more drama, a little bit more pain. And it depends on the relationship between the winner and that said wedgie.
Yes.
I could say, like, you know what, Chris? You have to make puff pastry.
Yes. It very much. Basically, it depends. If Dave gets to choose mine or somebody else's, it'll either be mean or nice. Some other culinary related ones, we've added a microwave only option. So if we were to land on microwave only, it's self-explanatory. You have to make today's recipe using only a microwave. There is a fusion option we have added, which means if you land on a fusion, if Dave were to land on fusion and I was the episode's winner, I would pick a culture of the world, a country of the world, I should say, and say to Dave, make the recipe, but make it Moroccan.
Mash it up.
Mash it up with another culture and do it respectfully, Dave.
Respectfully.
So the last new addition you're going to see on the wheel and for the rest of the season, and we'll let you get into the show here, is a fun one that Dave and I are both beyond excited about, which is if you land on live stream, you will have to
set a time and
set a time and a date, announce it to the Recipe Club fan base, all the Recipe Club faithful, to show up and watch you cook your recipe live on the internets. So those are the new restrictions. Again, if this makes no sense, I apologize, but this is some good. You're going to need this to get into this episode. And with that.
Wait, how about a scoring system?
Oh, there's a new scoring system too. So we want to give everybody a fair shot at this season. We realize there are some broken scoring things, which is what happens when you make something up on the fly. So we are going to now take the power that we held so dear to score one another, and we're going to hand it to the producers of this show. So when it comes to scoring the winner of each episode, we're going to put that in the hands of, you know, Gabby, Victoria, and Corey. They are going to assign a gold, silver, and bronze medal for the episode, and that is how we are going to start determining the winners. And at the end of the season, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. There's going to be a medal count. There's going to be averages. Don't freak out.
Tears.
There's going to be tears.
Of joy.
Tears of joy. And we got to get in the show, Dave, because I ate this Jell-O salad this morning and my tummy hurts. We got to go. Welcome to Recipe Club, where we debate the best way to cook the things you want to eat. My name is Chris Yang. I am the co-host of this podcast, along with David Chang.
Hello, hello.
Today's guest. I feel like you're not. The wedgies are the guests.
Wow, I've been downloaded to a guest.
Today's featured star wedgie member of the Recipe Club in the house with us in the clubhouse is none other than author of Saved by the Bellini and current king of Recipe Club, first place,
what?
Sole holder of first place in the Recipe Club season standings, John DeBerry, who is averaging 21 points per game. JDB, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm batting at, what is it, 100,000?
You're batting 100,000. That's one of the all-time stats that will never be achieved again. Batting 100,000. Was that a surprise to you to find out that you were your leading Recipe Club right now?
Well, I was in second place last time we recorded.
Yes.
And so I was like thinking about conspiring with my fellow wedgies and saying, "Hey, like Dave's in first, so like,
yeah, well, you know, it's happening. Don't worry."
So I didn't even need to do it. It was just like it was just the secret. It's manifested it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Nobody wants me to win. It's not going to happen. So I've given up.
Unbelievable. The guy has been in second place for 1 week and he's declared the season invalid.
If you're not
invalid.
Best, you're the worst. It's quite simple.
He has declared the season invalid and that he will no longer be trying. Kids.
Attachment is suffering. No. Just let go.
I've let go. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Let's get into it.
It's gonna be a colorful episode. A little preview of today, JDB. Some of this scoring is going to change after we take not a season break. We're gonna have a special guest episode, which I think I can announce. Bricia Lopez is gonna come on the show. We're gonna do a recipe from her book. We're gonna change some of the scoring, which we'll get to later. Deeper in this episode, we are going to get into some revisions to the Wheel of Death that we've been discussing at Recipe Club HQ. But before we get into any of that, we should talk about today's theme ingredient, which is soda. Good old carbonated soft drink soda.
Well, I'm glad I didn't even know that that was the title ingredient, because it could have been
It could have been anything.
Could have been Jell-O.
Could have
been cream cheese.
I think cherries. it was just blood sugar.
I'm just going to say this is just letting you know.
Leave something on the bone for the rest of the episode.
When it was made, my wife, stopped eating her dinner because she thought it was so vile, the look of it, that she stopped eating and it ruined her appetite. That is what happened.
Right. Well, this is kind of like a new diet recipe then. Just like, make this and you won't want to eat anymore.
And she's like, who made this? And I was like, before you say who you think you're about to say, I said, it's a Korean person.
Yes. So this is a, this is something. This is something else. Yeah. The recipe we're working with today is something else. But can we talk about soda more broadly? You guys got, are you two soda drinkers? You're a Diet Coke guy, Chang.
Yeah, I like my diet sodas. That's why he's drinking La Croix or La Croix, La Croix.
La Croix.
La Croix.
I do like bubbles. I think I drink a lot of bubbles when I was a child, though. A lot of double big gulps of Mountain Dew. lot of those.
Double big
gulp. Oh, yeah. You get that on the way to the golf course.
How many ounces are we talking about?
64 ounces.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, man.
That's a gallon.
That's a tub.
That's a board.
That's no longer a cup. At a certain point, it's no longer a cup, and it becomes a tub.
You know, walk 36 holes. Sun-kissed. Drink a lot of Sun-kissed. I'm old enough to remember that I would go to the local gas station and put in, like, 5 cents or 10 cents, and it would be one of those horizontal laid out old school Coca-Cola machines.
What?
Yeah, where they have glass bottles in it.
What?
Yeah.
I don't even know about
Great
this.
Depression.
No, it literally was a throwback.
You're like, not that much older.
Like a soda jerk? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it was a machine. Looked like a
at the Woolworths at the counter.
No, so you put it to funny and like on the side, and then the top would lift open. And then you'd go in and there'd be chambers of Coca-Cola.
Oh, I know what you're
talking about. And you'd take it out.
And you paid with wooden coins or
it's like a newspaper. It's like a newspaper box, but for soda.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's how long I've been drinking soda.
Now, what is a newspaper?
Okay. Well,
I remember drinking sodas to the point where, do you remember this? Where there was no ridges on the soda can?
No ridges.
At the top?
Oh, when it was just like a pure cylinder.
Perfect cylinder.
Yeah. Oh, and it didn't like taper at the ends. Yeah. Those are crazy.
Yeah.
Those look throwbacky. JDB.
The bevel you're talking about right here.
Yes. The bevel, exactly. The bevel. What is your soda drinking life look like? When did you chose this ingredient? Is it because you like soda? Are you a soda guy?
I love soda. Yeah, I'm a big like sparkling water, soda, club soda, seltzer. Coca-Cola,
you just need a bunch of waters,
beer. Yeah, I know. That's
Mellow Yellow.
Great.
Which I only remember from Days of Thunder
when I was a baby.
Mr. Pibb, also fantastic. Also, all the Jarritos, delicious.
The Jarritos. Very good.
But I would say the soda that I looked forward to the most as a child was Big Red.
What is Big Red?
Well, you don't know anything.
I
bubblegum flavored soda.
What?
Yeah. Like Big Red gum flavored soda?
I know, it's just called Big Red, man.
Not cinnamon flavor, like bubble gum flavor.
Bubble gum.
What?
Big Red.
Yo.
Oh, whoa.
Okay. Yeah. I think the reason why I love soda is because my parents called me Mellow Yellow when I was a baby because I had jaundice, so I was actually literally yellow. And I was so chill.
Of them.
I was so chill as a baby that they thought there was something like neurologically wrong with me. They did a hearing test because I was so quiet. So everyone in the hospital called me Mellow Yellow because I was just like chilling. And
calling your baby Mellow Yellow because he has jaundice.
I thought it was
intense.
Because they thought you were going to drive like Cole Trickle.
setting aside the club sodas and sparkling waters of the world. Where do you see the role of soda in cocktails and bartending and mixology, if you will?
You know, actually, I have like in my book, I have a Diet Coke cocktail that's part of my like clueless cocktail. And I think that soda can be overlooked as like a fancy cocktail ingredient because people think it's like sugary or like tacky or whatever. But I think it's like it's just another tool in the toolkit. And I also love making like flat, like syrups out of flat soda as a way to incorporate the flavor, but then not have to incorporate the texture.
Diet soda is a wonderful drink for cocktails. Fresca, you gotta love Fresca, the most underrated of them all.
Yeah,
I love Diet Cherry Coke Zero and of red wine.
It's the what?
Cottage French fry.
The sodas. Fresca, dramatically underrated. I wonder if part of it is just the packaging is a problem. But
there's nothing wrong with the packaging.
Good.
It's beautiful. I want it as wallpaper.
Okay, well, that might be exactly the point I'm making. I don't want a Coca-Cola can as my wallpaper. Like, I want it to be able to be recognized as soda. I am fat. But I could be sort of way fatter and more in danger if I were a soda drinker. But I grew up, that's not true. The soft drink I drank was Lipton's lemon brisk tea. So, I mean, I could be a way fatter, even unhealthier person if I drank soda. But there's something about, I don't think my parents really beat this into me or anything, but I have this association in my head of soda is bad. And more than that,
ice cream is good.
Ice cream is good. Third helping of curry rice is good. Soda is bad. But I know that you guys are not going to come with me on this. Soda bubbles hurt my throat. I can't do it. I can drink it out of a straw, but out of the can, I can't do it. I can't. But it has been a saving grace for me. What are your...
I can't even look at you.
I can't drink soda. I mean, it helps bubbles, me. I can't drink soda.
John DeBerry.
All bubbles. Bubbles hurt my throat.
Wow. I think this is automatic disqualification from the whole season of Recipe Club.
I mean, you know what? I'm glad that we're in a world of sharing, but you should never have shared that with everybody. Now no
this is not a safe space, Chris.
I didn't know we had gone into the world of sharing. Is that where the character is?
Speaking of sharing, I think Diet Cokes are fantastic. My good friend Dan Schaefer, who was an aspiring actor and model when we were in college, was very low carb back, like one of the OGs. And I was there, I'm sure maybe it was invented elsewhere, but I was there the moment he asked a bartender for a supermodel. He invented the name.
What?
Which is what?
Diet Coke and rum.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if that's a real drink.
Wait, we didn't even finish this. Diet Coke, good mixer, right? I think rum and Coke, solid cocktail.
It's so good. Bad.
Solid cocktail.
Did you know that I clean a lot of golf clubs in my day. I used to repair golf clubs.
Mm-hmm.
There was a thing called beryllium copper. It's a type of copper used in metal, especially in this variety of ping clubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Copper golf clubs. One of the best ways to clean them was to put all your irons into a bucket of Coca-Cola.
So in this day and age, this would be a viral TikTok meme where you'd be like, check this out.
Yeah.
You dunk your club into Coca-Cola and it comes out perfectly clean.
It was awesome.
So the uses for soda are many. I asked JDB about bartending with sodas. What is your general take on recipes or cooking, savory or otherwise? Let's say savory recipes with soda.
I know people have made it like carnitas with Coca-Cola.
Like Coca-Cola braised short ribs type of thing.
Well, you're just doing sugar.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's no soda element anymore.
Yeah.
It's just sugar and water.
It's just sugar water with some flavorings.
Which, okay, so to that point.
It's great. Listen, my mom put 7-Up in many of her dishes, including the dongchimis, which is the Korean watery, non-spicy pickle, which is delicious. Also in her munaengmyeon. So Koreans put 7-Up in dishes. That little effervescence really works, and it's a wonderful way of adding sweetness to a dish because it distributes pretty evenly, quickly. So I've grown up with sodas in my food.
So that's interesting. You said like mostly it's sugar, but you know your mom would use 7-Up because it also has.
Well, you can't beat those artificial flavorings.
But like it has that artificial like lemon and lime flavor. Can either of you? So some of those sodas you named, you know, like Dr. Pepper has a distinctive flavor beyond just sugar. Can either of you really pinpoint what is the flavor of?
Do you remember the 7-Up commercials, John DeBerry, with the big the guy from Annie doing the voiceover for 7-Up?
No.
Oh man,
I mean, maybe
I'm seriously older than you guys.
Not ringing a bell.
All right.
guy from Annie.
Not by a lot.
Can you describe the flavor of Coca-Cola beyond just sort of sugar water?
I wish they never took the cocaine out of Coca-Cola.
Same.
So we did a little research. I don't want to I'm sure everyone's expecting us to talk about that, but the original recipe, I didn't realize this until this morning, was not just cocaine. Like the original
There's alcohol in it.
Was like red wine, cocaine.
Yeah.
It was like, and caffeine. That was the recipe.
Yeah. And like he made it to get himself off heroin.
Yeah. And
he was addicted to smack.
First thing to go was the red wine, but the cocaine remained.
Speaking of that, there's a funny story Jimmy Kimmel used to tell me or has told me. He went to the Atlanta Olympics and I think he was working at K-Rock or something. Mm-hmm. And they were just going to go call people in the yellow pages and say, hey, Jimmy Kimmel here, and I can't remember his co-host. Will you host us for the 1996 Summer Olympics? And finally they found someone that did. In that house, in the basement, was where Coca-Cola was invented.
Wait, really?
This random house. Yeah.
Like, basically, to JDB's point, basically a flop house. Right? Yeah. Like, came up with Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I saw something online that was like, Coca-Cola is the second most recognized word in the world behind okay. Like, more people know what Coca-Cola is than almost
God
anything.
Damn, honestly, you know how fucking much shit I would be so productive if there's cocaine in Coca-Cola. You don't even need Diet Coke because you're going to be burning off that energy all day and everything else.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, I would be so rich if I had invented Coca-Cola.
There'd be so many fucking long-winded conversations in bathroom stalls and time would just
recipe
fly by.
Recipe 4 hours.
Yeah. Fuck, man. What is wrong with just a small dose of that?
God, just imagining working with you. I'm so glad cocaine is not in Coca-Cola, man.
Not that I've tried it, but I've heard it's fucking amazing.
While we're on the subject of Coca-Cola, you know, and I concocted a little game while we were in the lobby waiting to come into the studio, and I want to play it with you too. I'm going to read for you 6 Coca-Cola slogans. One of these is not real, and I would like for you to I don't know the answer either, so the three of us can try to identify the one of these Coca-Cola slogans that has not been a historically used Coca-Cola slogan. Number 1, Coca-Cola revives and sustains. Number 2, thirst knows no season. Number 3, the best friend thirst ever had. I don't think that's real. That can't be real, you know. Number 4, look up America. Number 5, the Coke side of life. And number 6, Coca-Cola, the one and only. I only recognize the Coke side of life. Do you recognize any of those?
I think that first one is the
Coca-Cola revives and sustains, you think, is the fake one? Do you recognize any of these, JDB?
I think that's real. I think that revives and sustains. It sounds very like...
What's the second one? What's the second one?
1910. The first one?
Thirst knows no season.
I think that's fake.
No, that one's real. Look up. I'm just saying. Look up.
Look up America is the fake one, you think?
By the way, I almost failed my driver's license test.
What? What are you talking about? What do you mean? Does that have to do with what we're talking about?
If you're looking
down. The reason why I bring that up, it's like this is like a multiple choice test.
Oh.
And look up happens to be one of those red herring ones because it's so different.
God.
And it's specifically designed for me to be like, yeah.
To make you.
You never know.
It
might not be a red herring.
It is okay. I know exactly what you're talking about. It is designed to be an outlier for people who have no fucking idea and are just going to pick the one that seems most different.
But I'm imagining the test makers, like, maybe we can deke all these other people to really test the intelligence.
But for anybody who studied, they know Look Up America is like one of them, even though it sounds different. But it's for people who are just like, oh.
Yeah.
I think Look Up America is too – if you know made up Look Up America and put it in here – like, that is diabolical.
Well, this guy's one of those. He could have made the SATs.
I'm going to say, so I recognize the Coke side of life.
I'm going to look up.
Yeah.
You're going to look up America. What are you choosing, JDB? Look up America?
Thirst has no season.
I'm going to say the best friend thirst ever had. You know. Which one of the, we all chose 3 different ones. I thought maybe we'd do this as a, oh, should we give a bonus point for this?
No. Let's just go. We got to go. John JDB's
got
to go.
All right. What do you got? What's the answer?
It's actually Coca-Cola, the one and only, is the one I made up on the spot.
Coca-Cola, the one and only, is the one he made up. That's a pretty good slogan. You should sell that to them. Okay, well, I've got a bunch of other statistics, but JDB's got a hard out, so let's move into the recipe. So, as is the custom here on Recipe Club, here's how we play our little game. We search the internet to see how many recipes there are for soda, and when you do a Google search, you get 276 million results. And of course, we chose none of them. We put the call out to you, our faithful and lovely listeners, to send in your soda-related, soda-featuring recipes. And you sent us not that many. You can still send in recipes this season for ube, watermelon, lemons, chicken wings, and flavored vodka by emailing thefixer@majordomomedia.com. And I highly encourage you to do so. And please send us good recipes. Things that you actually want
to
eat. Well,
I think some good recipes have been sent, but I put a lot of the onus here on the wedgies choosing fucking not good recipes.
Oh, I put the onus all over them, too.
Yeah.
the choices.
The main instigator is one somebody we may be talking to right now.
The chief onus owner here is right in front of us. The three choices JDB had to select from were Sprite biscuits from Catherine Cunningham, lemonade scones or scones by Tom Brady, the football player, and a cherry Coke. Wait, was there also what is Autumn Dunn soda kicks? This is some crazy shit you did here, you know. And the third selection was a cherry Coke salad from Lindsay Haynes. JDB, which one did you choose and why did you choose it?
I went with the cherry Coke salad because it just sounded so deranged. And to me, the scone recipe, lemonade is not soda, unless you're British, which this sounds like this person is, but I can't get, you know, we're not going to get lemonade in the States. I don't think, maybe we probably can't, but and I just thought it sounded really disgusting and fucked up, so that's why I chose it.
I wonder why the onus might be on some of the wedgies here, Dave, as to why some of these recipes have been so difficult to swallow.
My name is Lindsay, and this is my recipe for cherry Coke salad. One of our family friends always used to make it when they had us over for dinner when I was kids. And for whatever reason, as a kid, my sister and I just like loved the cherry Coke salad. And it was just like so foreign to us because I'm half Korean and it's just like not something that my mother would ever cook us. I think it's really become like very much the Thanksgiving dish. My husband thinks it's weird, doesn't really like it, doesn't really understand why I always make it, but it's very much like there's the turkey, there's the cranberry stuffing, and then there's the cherry Coke salad. Giving sufficient time for allowing it to congeal, I think, is probably the key to it. Otherwise, I think it's like a pretty simple recipe. You just kind of mix everything together. You know, it's just like a very nostalgic thing that my sister and I really, really love, and I was surprised that you guys picked it up, so... yeah, I look forward to seeing what everyone says.
So this recipe is basically a Jell-O salad made with cherry Coke. You drain a can of crushed pineapple, use that liquid along with some liquid from a bag of frozen cherries, although I don't know why there's liquid in a bag of frozen cherries. You use that along with some water to dissolve your gelatin, your two packs of black cherry Jell-O. You add cherry Coke to that, then the pulp of the pineapple. You stir that around with the frozen black cherries, and then finally you stir in a bag of mini marshmallows. You set that in your refrigerator, and that is the recipe. That is a cherry Coke salad. But, you know, as we do here on the show, we make the recipe as it is, which you'll see in these videos eventually. But then we push these recipes to their breaking points by taking a spin on the Wheel of Death, which assigns us each a constraint under which we have to make our version of Lindsay Haynes's cherry Coke salad. So when we spun the wheel last time JDB was on the show, Dave landed on under 20 minutes. Does that mean you had to set the Jell-O in under 20 minutes as well?
Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out. I drew pantry only, which means I had to make this using only shelf-stable pantry ingredients. And JDB drew vegan, so he could not use... I think you could not use gelatin.
Jell-O.
True?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think Dave's sounds the wackiest, so I'm going to let you... Yeah. go.
Well, it's up for you to decide, but 20 minutes probably was the most impossible challenge for this one, considering that Jell-O scientifically needs to. I would have a better chance if you gave me, infinite amount of time to build a faster than light warp drive speed.
So let's. Yeah. I want to save you for last because I think that's going to be a reason for people to listen to three descriptions of Jell-O salad. Mine. I'm going to go first because mine was probably the closest to the original.
Yeah.
Just so everybody gets a taste of what this is. The only changes to the recipe for me. Oh, I'm sorry. The ingredient I forgot is you have to stir cream cheese into into the hot Jell-O
crucial
mixture
ingredient
to cream it up. So the Thicken. Two ingredients that posed a problem for me as a pantry only guy were the cream cheese and the frozen cherries. I actually think a pantry-only version of this recipe is probably like truer to the spirit of what this thing is than anything else. So my solutions were, one, aided by Chang, who – what did you use the cream cheese powder for?
The Donair.
Oh, yeah. Use the Donair dip. So Dave had to buy a big-ass bag of powdered cream cheese, which in this instance, it says specifically on the back, if you want to add this to whatever sauces or liquid stuff, you can just pour this cream cheese powder straight into the liquid. I had never used this before. I don't know if you had used the cream cheese powder before you did the Donair dip or anything.
First and last.
So I couldn't resist messing around with it. I made it by you basically rehydrate it with water. You stir it and it becomes like a very wet cream cheese. And I wanted to just screw around. So, it says like cube cream cheese. And I was like, oh, I wonder if you freeze this, if it'll set. Surprise. It's water when gets cold turns into solid. So it did that. But you could just pour this cream cheese powder straight into the mix. The only other thing was, instead of using frozen cherries as called for, I found, I just bought a jar of cherries, and it happens that where I live in Glendale, California, there's more than just your normal offering of maraschino cherries at the grocery store. So I bought like a jar of sour cherries in light syrup because I was like,
sounds nice.
For this elegant, not too sweet dessert, maybe I should find sour cherries and light syrup. So that was my whole thing. I added the cream cheese to this. I don't know what happened with you guys, but when you pour this cherry soda into this fucking gelatin mixture, it becomes insane looking. It's like a crazy foam that will not subside. It's like an indestructible foam. It looks like the shit that they like party in Ibiza. Like that's like the fucking foam that results from this mixture.
Can you pronounce Barcelona now?
Barcelona. I took the flight from Barcelona to Ibiza and I went to this foam party. It is disgustingly insane. I had made a Jell-O salad before. I don't know if it's racist to say this because I think this is.
Oh, this is
like,
the best part coming up right now.
I don't know if this is like, if Jell-O salads are some sort of white cultural treasure, but it's fucking gross, man. It's the second time I've had to make Jell-O salad and it's gross. I ate it. My tasting note is this. I ate it. I was like, oh, maybe a 6-year-old would like this. And then my little 6-year-old walked by and I was like, Ruby, try this. And she looked at it in just pure disgust and like ran away. So, that's my pantry only version of it. I don't like Jell-O salad. JDB, how did you make a vegan version?
Okay. Well, so I had to basically find a workaround for Jell-O. Find a workaround for marshmallows and find a workaround for cream cheese. So the first thing I did is I made vegan marshmallows, which I've never made marshmallows before.
This fucking guy.
But
just one.
It's a huge pain in the ass.
You
and I made such a mess. Like all the candy thermometer shit, like it was out of control. I also bought vegan marshmallows because I just wanted a backup.
I think something's broken in my brain where I couldn't process what he said. Did he say I had to make my own vegan marshmallows?
I did. Yeah, that's what I said.
Let's just go to the point system. You won.
Okay. So what was your gelatin stand-in?
I got agar agar. So okay. I actually need the agar agar for the literal Jell-O recipe and for the marshmallows. So I now have agar agar.
And what is agar agar, John?
I think it's like a, isn't it like like an algae.
It's a sea.
It's like a replacement for
seaweed
for
derivative.
Yeah. Yeah, it's seaweed. Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's thermo irreversible as well.
That's right.
Meaning it can't go.
It's a hydrocolloid. So once you set it, you cannot melt it again.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Gelatin is not that way. Gelatin, if you heat it, it'll just totally dissolve. Yeah. Interesting.
Agar has a magical property that prevents it from melting. Yes, it can melt in a ripping inferno, but it's not going to melt.
So you're saying if I wanted to eat a hot version of this salad, if I could do it.
You could easily make a hot version of this.
Yeah. Another thing about the vegan marshmallows is that it's an aquafaba recipe that I found. So I had to like actually whip aquafaba, like the bean goop from chickpeas, into like a basically like an egg white foam, which also is very stable.
Agar question again. Does it have to be cool to set?
I think so.
Into solid, and then it can't be melted again?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. All right. So you made
one of the reasons why, again, Asian desserts are so terrible.
Because most people, when they ask for dessert, they don't say,
that's going to be a soft gelatin-like thing. Oh, why is that so hard?
Right. So you have the chocolate mousse and the apple pie. Do you have anything thermo irreversible?
Why does it taste like a rubber? Like rubber.
Do you have like any algae-based desserts?
And by the way, not too sweet, please.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Well, JDB, you won.
Vegan,
you won.
Let's go through trust the process.
Trust the process. Okay. And then vegan Jell-O is super easy. You basically just make, it's just as if you're making Jell-O. Like you just use the agar-agar powder and sugar and black cherry juice. So that was really easy to replicate. The vegan cream cheese was like one of those things where you soak cashews for like 24 hours in water. And then you blend them, and then you like basically add acidity, essentially, like lemon juice and salt, and I forget what else is in there. Oh yeah, apple cider vinegar, of course, because it's a vegan recipe. And then the only hiccup with me was like that I couldn't find cherries anywhere, frozen cherries anywhere. So I actually used like cranberries, which I think actually almost made this a little better because of the texture of the cranberries made everything a little bit less mushy.
Ooh,
he didn't win.
Wow, he made his own marshmallows, his own vegan Jell-O, and he still managed to throw it all away.
You were celebrating that touchdown.
I went to like four stories.
Way too early.
Deshaun Jackson, this man, just dropped the ball on the
Leon
water.
Lett.
Wait, you made it better, meaning you liked this?
Well, because the cranberries have this like, they have tannins, they're way more acidity, and there's like they have that sort of like poppy texture, like the crunch.
Sure.
Whereas like, yeah, so it actually like broke up the the mushy texture of everything else. So I actually thought it made everything a little bit.
What did you do for a cream cheese?
The cream cheese was cashews, basically.
Okay, like okay, cashews.
Yeah. And so then I wasn't really very confident in my marshmallow recipe. So I got vegan marshmallows, which basically taste and look like exactly like normal. And so I split the recipe and did it twice. And the version with my own marshmallows was like basically just soup. It was really just not great. And then the one with regular marshmallows kind of set. So it definitely had that like sort of, it's almost like a little cakey texture to it. Mm. And then I tried to, then I combined the two and tried to set it into a bundt pan, like a nice little bundt shape. Maybe it would do some cool little Jell-O mold, and it just didn't. I put it on a plate. And I lifted the mold up, and it all just went like just everywhere. It was so revolting.
Wait, so was among how many did you made two, three?
I made two. I mean, one, I made the recipe, but at the end, I split it in two.
Okay.
So I had one with the regular, like the store-bought vegan marshmallows, and the other one with vegan marshmallows.
It's a smart move to split it because it's a massive.
It's a big recipe, too.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
Fucking huge.
Yeah.
It's so much. I've never had so much of something I don't want.
I know. I know.
I want to be fair to the.
It was haunting me in the back of my refrigerator.
Well, you want me to lie? I'm going to lie.
All right. Well, hold on a second.
My horoscope said I can't lie this
Hold
month.
On a second. JDB, setting aside the clear opinions of your peers here on the show, what was your take on what you made?
I mean, I wonder what it was, what it would be like if it was made the straightforward way without any modifications, because it's possible it has a better I feel like if this was like, if it had a set solid texture, it would be pretty good and you could have a little slice of it.
It that doesn't would be nice, set.
But it just the didn't, crushed it just didn't pineapple do that.
Actually makes it not really like a jiggly jello. It makes it kind of a weird creamy texture.
Well, my thought was that the bromelain in pineapple gets deactivated by the canning process, so you don't have that issue. But maybe not.
No, I just mean like the pineapple is like weaved throughout, so you don't get like a
just the amount jello. Of it. Oh yeah.
It's a lot of pineapple.
I think there was like too much liquid stuff in here. Maybe more marshmallows were in order.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Yeah.
Let's put it this way. This is the first recipe I made for Recipe Club in all the years that I didn't have my husband try.
Oh. Do you think maybe you'll learn your lesson about how you choose your recipes moving forward?
This is definitely a nadir for me.
All right.
Professionally, personally, emotionally. But I think as David is, Chang, you know, I think could be good.
Dave Chang, the senator who seems very eager to get to the floor vote and is very upset by all the filibustering by Strom Thurmond over here.
Could have been a 10-minute podcast.
Yes, the chair recognizes the grumpy senator from California, David Chang. Your assignment was to set a jello in 20 minutes. How'd you do?
Well, I had all the ingredients set, and I'll walk you through it. I even thought about getting liquid nitrogen, but I was like, that's not going to work. So I was like, I'll get an ice bath. I'll prep everything that I can for 20 minutes to make it as cold as possible. So I had one of the issues with the recipe that if you really want to get nitty gritty here, you mentioned the pineapple liqueur and the pineapple itself and the cherries. I think it overshoots the amount of liquid for the recipe. Because if you use two boxes of Jell-O, that's 8 cups of liquid.
Yes.
Right? It really doesn't tell you how much cherry Coke to use. And it doesn't really tell you the varying amounts of liquid in a pineapple or not. And I think, honestly, by the time you set it all up, even if you measured everything out with the 8 ounces, 8 cups of liquid, because it's 8 cups of liquid to 2 packets. It's four cups of water per package of Jell-O.
Right. So
I think you should have undershot it totally to 7 cups
to get it to set. Yeah. So it does set. So it's 1 liter of cherry Coke. So about 4 cups right there.
It's
right?
4.23567 8 9 10. No, it's 4.2456 something something nine.
That's how much how many cups in a liter. And then I would guesstimate the amount that you're getting out of that pineapple thing is at least a cup of liquid.
No, it's less. It's less, but it's less. I think overall, that 0.2345 liter is actually a lot.
Yeah.
Right? or cups, I should say. So overall, I think you're most, if you do make this recipe, which, you know, maybe you do like it, you need to undershoot it by at least a cup and a half of liquid, whether it's water or Coca-Cola, in my opinion. I mean, I'm going to try to give real culinary advice. I just think the recipe itself is flawed because of that metric to imperial system conversion.
They didn't even attempt that. It's pretty loosey-goosey here.
It's pretty loosey-goosey, but again, to dial this in correctly, I think that one is a flaw. Two, it doesn't talk about when you should when the temperature is which when you should add the cream cheese, right? And that has a big thing to do with a 20-minute one, because I microwave my water for 2 minutes, and I only microwave 1 cup. I was just doing that to activate the Jell-O. So 4 cups with 1 cup of water, and honestly, that iteration was the most delicious version of the dish. It was just Jell-O, pure Jell-O.
It was double sugar Jell-O.
Oh, so good. I mean, and I have that. I bloomed it. I also had – so now my whole goal is to cool it down as quickly as possible. I'm in an ice bath, and I add 3 cups of ice.
To the your mixture.
Right? So that's my water component, right? Mm-hmm. 1 cup of water, 3 cups of ice, and then 4 measured-out cups of Coca-Cola.
Okay. So now you're way over the 8 cups, right?
Or
you're
I'm sort of at 8 cups right now. Then I add the or before that, then it's like, okay, add in your cubed cream cheese. If for 20 minutes, this is a problem because mixing the cream cheese, it says whisk or blend. I wound up just throwing it in the blender because I was running out of time. You need it to be almost boiling to incorporate the cream cheese so it doesn't come up in like chunks, right? So that to me is a second flaw to this dish, is the incorporation of the cream cheese is just not accurate. There's no way you can whisk this without having long strands of cream cheese snot in it.
See, I missed that entire part of it with my pantry only one, because when you throw in like out of a bag cream cheese, it disappears instantly.
So it's like gone. So like if you are going to make this, I would say you need to blend it and do it in the boiling water first. I would blend the cream cheese in the boiling water when the water is boiling.
Mm.
Right? That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because like that's the only time that you're going to be able to incorporate heat with the cream cheese to melt it down a little bit. And then add that to the blooming of the Jell-O itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that. Then, so now it's like I've cooked for like 7 minutes. I'm pretty much done after 7 minutes. Incorporating everything, add the pineapple. The cherries, too, I was like, okay, frozen cherries, I'll say I've never had before, are delicious. Mm-hmm. In fact, I might just buy frozen cherries because
my kids eat those as a snack.
Why wouldn't they be more delicious? Because they're peaked and pitted at the, you know, they're at the peak sweetness. Anyway, trying to set it. I do know that if you freeze it, you're going to break a lot of the bonds that the Jell-O needs. You can cool it down, right? So I was hoping that by pouring it on a very thin layer on a cookie tray, that the surface area would help me set it as quickly as possible in under 20 minutes.
So how thick are we talking about? Like an inch, half inch?
Half an inch.
Okay.
It didn't work. So I put it in the freezer and I timed it so it's like just like 2 minutes left because I didn't want it to start to freeze the outside. And then I put it in the fridge and 20 minutes comes up and it did not set.
How, even close to setting?
Well, it didn't set overnight.
And then I had the 15 pounds of the real bucket of cherry cola salad.
Mm-hmm.
That also didn't set.
I think you're dead right about the amount of liquid, because on top of all of that, on top of like you're adding so much liquid, I'm gonna say there is more liquid content in that pineapple too.
The cherry has lots of liquid,
and cream cheese also has like liquid content.
The reason why I think the cherries are not a good thing to add, right? Frozen. I think that with the cherries are defrosting as the Jell-O is setting, and that water is weakening the bonds in the Jell-O, right? So that's what I saw. I was like, where the cherries were located, it was like melting ice around those cherries. So me being, you know, a Nobel Prize winning physicist, I was like, well, clearly this is what's going on.
Of course. And the Peace Prize. I mean, like, we might as well mention it. You got both. The first double winner.
And my parents are still unhappy. So again, did I complete it in under 20 minutes? Technically, yes. Was it finished? There was no way in hell, even if the recipe was correct and I followed it correctly, could it have been done under 20 minutes with the materials and equipment in someone's home? But I followed the recipe to the T. I did. And it didn't fucking work.
The other part that is very difficult with any of these, okay, I've tried two Jell-O salads in my life. I don't understand. Like, I also had a picture, GDB, of like a perfectly set molded Jell-O with kind of cherries suspended in the middle and marshmallows suspended in the middle. I was just like pushing marshmallows down into this thing fruitlessly, just like this fucking thing is never going to work.
It's also possible that we're just not, experienced enough in Jell-O making. That's really true.
100%, right?
And here's the other thing. I would probably, if this was anything else, I would probably want to make it again to prove that like it could work. But the reality is I bought enough to make another one, and I didn't make it. You know what I made? I made a cherry pie, Jell-O pie instead, with graham cracker crust, with Diet Coke Sprite. It was delicious.
What does appeal to the one thing I will say in favor of this recipe, the thing that does appeal to me in general, like I actually do like theoretically that notion of sort of like cream cheese enriched. I like cream and fruit. I like a creamsicle. Yeah. And I would like for like that cream cheese to like make a Jello, like not just Jello, and have give it like some fat and richness. Like I like that.
Oh, you're one of those individuals that goes to Wimbledon like, oh, I finally got strawberries and cream.
I wish I was one of those individuals. Who go to
I feel like the cream cheese powder is the key. Like if you took everything else and left it the same and just dumped it in there,
I think the cream.
But
cheese
the color
powder,
must
it look balance out
like something you see in hell.
Oh, you know what it actually looks like exactly? Oh, I figured it out. It is the exact color and texture of the goo underneath the streets of New York in Ghostbusters 2.
Oh my
God. It is exactly that. Every element of it, including when I started playing music, it just started making my toaster dance. Like every single aspect of it was what it was. Okay, so that was the three ways in which we approached the Jell-O.
Give me 0 points. I didn't finish salad. It. I don't care anymore.
We're going to let our producers, who today are Corey, Victoria, and Yuno, they are going to choose a gold medal recipient, a silver medal recipient, and a bronze medal recipient for this episode. We're going to go back and retroactively apply those medals, and then there'll be a medal count at the end of the season. That's how it's going to work now. There are holes.
Do we
I
get
know.
Achievements?
Sure. Special achievements, special stars, certificates of participation.
Do I get an extra gold medal for winning the first the season up until this point?
No. No. Okay. Production people? Producers, I want you to consider the same things. I want you to consider, did you achieve the task, creativity, faithfulness, all of this stuff. But I want you to prepare your three gold, silver, and bronze. I'm going to turn to you in just a second after I provide the, once again, current standings in the season, which are JDB at number one, first place in Recipe Club. Second place is Dave Chang, just nipping at your heels. Third is Priya, also very close. Fourth is Brian. Fifth is yours truly. And in sixth place is Rachel Kong.
Poor Rachel.
I think this race is all going to become much closer now that we're changing this scoring system. It's going to be much closer to fair.
Way more millennial-like.
Everybody wins. Everybody gets a medal. Everybody wins everything.
All right, we're going to start with bronze. It goes to Dave.
What a fucking surprise.
A silver medalist.
The silver medalist is Ying, which means our gold medalist for the first time we're doing this is JDB. The king stays the king.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we should change the system again. All right, so
I love this system.
We are going to introduce some new wheel spins. Dave and I will talk about that in a second. But before we do that, JDB, the next time you're on the show, your ingredients, your featured ingredient will be sweet potatoes, or as it's written here on my run sheet, sweet potatoes. And your recipe choices are boiled down to Cynthia Alexander's Kima-style stew with two potatoes. Sounds good. Annie Bauchio's roasted sweet potato spears with bacon vinaigrette. Kira Brandman's loaded taco sweet potato sliders. And Mary Bennett's sweet potato custard pie. JDB.
Yeah.
Which one of these do you choose? Which
I was really drawn
which
to.
One of these sounds the most delicious to you.
Let's do the spears. Let's do the bacon.
Did we just Jedi mind trick him into what we're wrong?
We browbeat him.
You overtly requested that I pick something else,
that's what I did.
There's
no Jedi about that. That's some Sith shit right there. That was some Sith shit.
Wow. I just like totally changed
all right,
my mind
so we
for
have
no reason.
We have, assuming this whole thing, I changed my mind for no reason. These aren't the droids you're looking for. If this all goes according to plan, Dave and I have already discussed the new wheel things at the top of this episode, which are now on this magical wheel. While Gabby makes a physical version, I'm going to be spinning the digital one, which includes all of our new wheel constraints. JDB, this spins for you, buddy.
But tell them what they are.
Is it new and old, or
you got to tell them what the
new
are.
New and old. Sorry. Okay, really quickly, I'm going to give you.
So you've added a bunch.
We've added quite a few. So
still on the wheel are
under 20 minutes. We've changed one pot to slow cooker. We've changed pantry only to doomsday. It's basically the same thing. We're going to do vegetarian or vegan as an option, and the winner of the episode will get to choose whether it's a vegetarian or vegan thing. We've put budget and Lux on the same part of the wheel so that you, again, the winner will get to choose whether somebody has to do budget or Lux. And we've added Whole 30 to the keto slice too, so that, again, you'll get to choose whether it's keto or Whole 30. The new categories, the new constraints we've added to the wheel are microwave only, meaning you can only use a microwave as your cooking implement.
Oh, I love it.
Fusion, meaning, again, the winner gets to choose a culture of the world with which you have to fuse this recipe. So make the cherry Coke salad.
Some Zelda Tears of the Kingdom right there.
It basically is, because he made it with Agar. Chinese.
I mean, basically, yes. Basically, when you get fusion, is when fusion you recipe. Get is how you get canceled. It's basically how we're gonna do this.
It's your last episode.
We've added handmade, which means one element of your recipe has to be made completely from scratch. So, for instance, in this Jello one, it may have been. I mean, you already did homemade marshmallows or homemade cream cheese. We have added live stream your cooking, meaning you have to live stream your whole Recipe Club cooking process on either YouTube or Instagram or whatever. We've added a wild card, which means you get to choose whichever constraint you want. Finally, we have added two that will be on the same slice of pie, like bankrupt and jackpot and Wheel of Fortune. God mode, you get to pick everybody's constraint, including your own.
Ooh.
And if you happen to go third, your choices override every other previous spin.
Nice.
And the the corollary, the yin to that yang, is double taxation. Meaning you have to take two constraints. So that's the new wheel. It has become, I would say, 400% deadlier.
I love it.
It is very deadly. So I'm gonna spin this for you. Again, we're making the potato.
Why don't you show the camera as you spin?
Yeah, can you just turn it around so I know you're not lying?
Okay, I'm gonna spin. It's very tiny. You're gonna see all of my emails and open browser things. Can you see this?
I can't see your tabs from here.
I'm gonna try to. Boop. Away it goes.
Do we need the sound effect?
It is spinning. I mean, it's an audio podcast. I don't know what it says. It's facing away from me. What did it land on? What did it say?
Microwave only.
Microwave only. Oh, potato microwave spears only. With bacon vinaigrette. I'm very excited for that.
That's pretty easy.
The nice part about this digital one is I can remove that from the wheel. You want to spin your own?
You don't remove it.
No, so only you, one person can get that.
Because you can't. We're not doubling up,
so
right?
He's only get microwave only. That's how we've been playing the whole season.
Oh. Yeah.
Spinning another one. This is Dave's.
No, I want to. That's yours. Okay,
this is mine. This is mine. Fine. Easy. It's vegetarian or vegan. Who won? John, you have to choose whether I have to make this vegetarian or vegan. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're screwed anyway. Yeah. I'll just say vegetarian just to be nice.
Dave is going to be spinning his own. You just tap the wheel there.
God mode.
I know you're going to get God mode. So pissed.
Wild card.
All right. So
can
you
I
got
choose
wild
God
card
mode?
No, you cannot choose God mode. Fucking loop. He's accusing me of filibustering.
I would find a loophole
everywhere. What's your restriction be? It's sweet potato spears with bacon vinaigrette. You should just take the Lux one, man.
Yeah.
Do it Lux. Show us what it's
about. John,
show
I want to challenge you. I choose fusion. Give me a country.
Get this guy canceled.
God, the power.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to do something like really improbable. Like, what about like
maybe somewhere they don't eat pork?
Is Iceland too specific?
Iceland.
Nordic.
Just put some fucking cloudberries on it.
Just some shark urine on it. Just
put some Ronsholm. Pickled Ronsholm.
No, let's do something where it's going to be something very interesting. I would say
Scandinavian.
I was gonna say
that's kind of cool.
Scandinavian's interesting. He's basically making it fancified. I wouldn't mind seeing like an Asian like a Southeast Asian take.
Am I talking to John DeBerry here or John DeBerry there?
I'm just having a conversation with my friend John DeBerry on the side over here.
You know, we're Borg bros now, so we actually have a shared consciousness.
We've shared a Borg, man. All right. Pick, what do you want, GDB? I don't want to influence you. You pick. We already ruined your recipe pick.
Total pushover. I think I'm going to go with Scandinavia. I think that's
pick a specific country so we don't get in trouble for
it. It's fine.
All right, Scandinavian, new Scandinavian potato, sweet potato spears.
How would Rene Redzepi make this dish? Do I get points if I get Rene to make it with me?
I mean, you get some kind of points, but not real points. Not the points that count. All right, so next time John's on the show, we will be making Annie Bauccio's roasted sweet potato spears with bacon vinaigrette. I'll be making it vegetarian. John will be making it. Wait, what is yours again?
Microwave only.
And Dave will be making a Scandinavian
skull.
A Scandinavian fusion version of the bacon.
Can you do like reindeer bacon?
Can you?
Please.
Okay.
You know what matches a sweet potato? Sea buckthorn.
Oh, come on.
This is my roasted sweet potato s'more, bro.
With my sea buckthorn reduction.
Well, that is the soda episode. Thank you to everyone who submitted a recipe, especially the recipe we chose. You know, we're not converts, Lindsay, but we appreciate you sending it in. I saw in your head note that your husband discouraged you from sending or encouraged you to send the recipe in. God bless him. Thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you rate us 5 whole stars wherever you can. Thank you to John DeBerry, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
Thank you, JDB.
Bye.